That song's really all about perspective and how I think sometimes as we get older and as life starts to happen, we start to lose perspective. We gain blinders in our life and we start to look straight ahead and, you know, how you doing? Same thing, different day. You know, and we lose perspective of what's going on in the world around us. Like, we may know some current events of what's going around politically. We may know a little bit of going, but we lose sight of what God's doing all around and what God's doing in us. And a lot of times we lose perspective, you know, especially, you know, we go on vacation and we're out, we're doing our own thing, and it's just all about us recovering and relaxing, and we forget to look up and look out and see what God's doing. And we had the chance to go to the Philippines, and we went because we've been doing a partnership with a ministry called Threads of Hope, and Threads of Hope was birthed out of a missionary who was on vacation. And they looked up, and they looked out, and they looked around, and they met a young girl named Alona and her best friend, and they befriended her, and they went to the same place on vacation for year after year, and they just struck up a friendship with a girl named Alona and her best friend, and they went 1 year, and they didn't see Alona's best friend. And so they talked to Alona and said, "Hey, where's your friend?" And they don't know Tagalog, and so some of the words that she used, it either meant her parents sold her into the sex trade, or she married a very older gentleman to get out of here. It's a very common practice for Filipino women to marry foreigners to get out of the situation that they're in. And that broke the heart of Alex and his wife, and they had $100, and he gave Alona $100 because she was selling bracelets on the beach. And he said, "Here's $100. Just make some bracelets, and I'll come back and I'll pick them up." So he just assumed she would take the $100, and he wasn't sure that he would come back and find a bunch of bracelets. Well, he came back, and he got like 1,200 bracelets. What do I do with 1,200 bracelets? So he was a missionary that was a house parent at Faith Academy. Faith Academy is a huge mission school in the Philippines. And so they started selling them at the school while people wanted to take them home to furlough, and they ended up selling them in the States. And so the $100 went to $1,000. $1,000 went to $10,000. $10,000 went to $100,000. And it just has kept growing over and over again. And it started with a young girl named Alona, who now, Alona, you'll see right there, she's the quality control person for Threads of Hope. So she has to inspect every bracelet that comes. And they buy bracelets twice a week. In this case, that's 14,000... 300, yeah, it's 14,000 plus. It's in a 14,467 bracelets, and that's just the round ones. That's not including all the rest. And so every week they have people that travel and make these bracelets. Now, Threads of Hope supports almost 700 individuals in the Philippines, gives them an income. And their whole idea is, let's take desperation out of life. Because when we're desperate in life, we lose perspective and we allow ourselves to do things we wouldn't normally do. For instance, where we were in Puerto Galera, it's a resort area. And so what parents found is that tourists will buy from little kids much more readily than they will buy from adults. So they take little kids out of school, so no longer are they going to school, getting an education, they're actually selling on the beach. It may be that they're not making enough money that way, so they'll send one of the parents will go to Kuwait or go to China or go somewhere else and just be a servant to try and bring money back. And so there's desperation going on, and so they're trying to figure out, how do we get out of this situation? And some parents even sell their kids into the sex trade because they want to figure out how to get out of this desperate situation and provide for their family. And so Threads of Hope has come in and has given 700 people livable wage. And it just, it really puts into perspective for me Matthew 25, verse 35. We'll start with 34. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you are blessed by my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me into your home. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you cared for me. I was in prison, and you visited me. Then these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when do we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick, in prison, and visit you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me. And least is not signifying importance. It's a cultural, those who we look at as the least of these. And just imagine being on vacation at a resort. What's our first inclination? Oh, serve me. It's all about me. It's about me refreshing, me relaxing. And instead, Alex looked up and said, it's not about me. I'm interested in their lives. See, perspective's a crazy thing. When we lose perspective, we don't see God at work. Instead, we see our own circumstances, our own situations, and we say, God, what are you doing? And God is doing crazy things through Threads of Hope. So God has multiplied the buying of the bracelets. Well, in turn, God introduced Alex to a guy by name of Al. And Pastor Al moved his family from Manila, and they planted a church in Porto Galera, which is not a huge place, a huge area, but there is lots of people. Started with 17 people, and now it's up over 1,000. The average church size in the Philippines is 55. So this is a ginormous church. And when you have a church in the States that have 1,000 people, how many pastors on staff? 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, there's one. He's got him and his daughter and his wife. And they're serving the needs of the community. They're in the process of starting a high school. Because what they found is there's elementary schools. But after elementary school, a lot of times the kids that do stay in school, they get out. And they don't go back to school. They have to work to make a living. And so, again, Threads of Hope is saying, hey, we're creating an opportunity for them to thrive. But if they want to go to high school, they have to travel. And so we want to take that out of the equation because a lot of them can't afford it. And we're going to build a high school. And so they're in the process of getting teachers. They're raising support right now to be high school teachers at that area. Well, for those that do graduate, a lot of them can't afford school, or college. So Threads of Hope has a scholarship program. So Threads of Hope is saying, hey, we are going to take this community, and we can't do it everywhere, but we can do it here. And we're providing an income, and it's not just an income. They've planted a church. And there's a lot of people that know about Threads of Hope in the community, and some of them are like, hey, I want in on this, so I'm going to go and I'm going to attend this church. So they go and they attend the church, not necessarily for the right reasons, because they're looking for income. We want to become bracelet makers. Well, they end up getting saved, become passionate followers of Jesus. And their commitment level, and the students will talk a little bit about this, it's crazy. But there's one lady who, she was giving birth to her sixth kid. Her husband died right shortly after, so she's raising kids on her own. Very, I guess Alex's words, bitter, angry lady that now is this sweet lover of Jesus because Pastor Al came, ministered to her family. She came to know Jesus. She's a bracelet maker, and as her needs are being provided for physically and spiritually, and you're seeing how God is using threads of hope to transform a community. See, perspective is a crazy thing, that when we lose it, we get so narrowly focused looking down, not seeing what God is doing in us, through us, and around us. And really, this trip was much less about, hey, let's go do a mission. Because the mission that we have is we go sell bracelets. We go to Creation, we sell bracelets. And so for those that are new, we don't normally sell bracelets at church. We don't have a big, huge sign. But our mission is to go and to sell these bracelets here in the States so that we can help provide for those who have a hard time providing for themselves if it was left up to them. So that's just a little overview of why we went and the ministry that we were involved with. We have a slideshow that just shows our trip, but afterwards there's a couple students that aren't here, and we videotaped them so that they could take part in the service, and you can just hear what they had to say. So enjoy the video.
Heaven can heal. So Well, the weather's really nice over there. And the food's really good, but the people and the kids, they're just so different from people over here. They just have a servant's heart, and they served a lot, and they were always waiting on us to eat before they ate. God taught me how to appreciate what I have here, because all the kids over there have nothing, and they're all so happy. He also taught me how to love with no expectations, because those kids out there, they don't expect anything in return, and they just love you with everything that they have, and all they want is to be loved back. I know that I was told that it was supposed to be like a dirt hut with like dirt floors and stuff, but I didn't really imagine it to be as bad as it actually was. I actually walked through a house, and there was just a hole in the ground as a toilet, and the walls were just like wood, just pieces of wood. The ground was dirt. And that's pretty much what they slept on. It taught me a lot of life lessons and kept my, well, fixed my perspective on how lucky I am to live where I live and have what I have. There was two kids, that stood out to me. One's name was Hester, and he had polio, and so he couldn't walk. And just when I first saw him, it was hard to just look at him even, because of his arms were like that big and his legs were super tiny, and he just sat there all day. And I remember when we went on the hike and like we came back 3 hours later, he was sitting in the same exact spot, and it was just hard to see someone so young. And then there was Marcus, who I connected with from the beginning, and just he was so loving, and just it was great. And I remember the first time I talked to him, I just knelt down on my knees and handed him a ball. And he just smiled from like ear to ear, and it made my heart happy. And then when he said goodbye, this almost made me cry, but he jumped in my arms, just told me he loved me, and just, like, kids over here, I just feel like they wouldn't do that. They're not as open to just letting strangers into their lives.
Just their culture is very different in a lot of things that they do. Like, at church, it was kind of crazy to see, like, everyone, like, during worship, they would be, like, singing, like, as loud as they can, and just, like, almost, like, giving their whole heart out to it. And here at church, sometimes we show up, like, you know, late, or when we are here, we kind of zone it out and stuff, but they're, like, everyone's so into it, even though their sermons are, like, 3 hours long. And Angelica was a 10-year-old girl that I met at the sports camp that we held throughout the week. We got to know each other and stuff, and she one day invited me to her house and wanted me to visit her family, and she wanted to make me eggs, and she wanted to show me like her chickens and all of her rooms, and so I went there one day, and we talked about her favorite TV shows, and we actually watched the same ones on YouTube. She'll like look it up on her iPad, and she'll like watch the latest ones on YouTube and stuff, and so we like talked about all those shows, and then she showed me her kitchen, and like she's like really proud of everything, so that just kind of like showed me again like how little it was compared to mine, but how happy she was about it. throughout the week, she would come on like hikes with us and stuff, and she was just kind of like so happy to have attention, I guess, from people, and just to be almost like to be loved, because she knew how much I cared for her. To keep in touch, she gave me her email, so when she goes up to the pastor's house, she can get Wi-Fi and email me, and we can keep in touch, and she gave me her Facebook, so we can still talk to each other. I can't get through, like, this life alone without God, you know. If I just go by myself, I wouldn't be where I am today. If you try to find your identity in yourself through, like, materials or anything of this world, like, you're just going to end up upset. And so you just really need to focus on your true identity through Christ, and that's what will keep you most happy through your life. It's just, like, life-changing. Like, God somehow can work in all these different things through all these different circumstances that, you know, you just never forget, so.
Would you go again?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to invite all those who went to come on up. And Hector, he's 9 years old. So he's the age of Anaya, and he was the size of Joel, like, if not smaller. And his mom makes bracelets, and so, like, that's how the family helps provide. Are you guys going to come up, or am I going to stand here and talk? Like, get up here. Holy cow. All right. Not cow. All right. So, like, yeah, so that was just an eye-opening experience, and you saw his wheelchairs, and like, it's all there. Come. So that was crazy. And there's just lots of ways that Threads of Hope is helping families. You know, one of the bracelet makers, one of the daughters is making the bracelets because the mom has stage one cancer. And so you would hear story. One family that goes to the church, mom makes bracelets, the son is blind. You know, so you hear lots of just different stories. So, Caleb, you and I were just talking. Like, what was one of the things that shocked you when you were there?
The thing that shocked me was you're driving through Manila, and the lanes are just recommended. So, in like a three-lane road, there's like six lanes in reality, and there's like motorcycles cruising through everywhere, and I heard the stories about people who would sell stuff like in the streets, and you'd see these older guys. I'm like, okay, I was prepared for that. And then I turn my head. I don't really believe it at first, but I turn it, and I see this little girl who's about this, like, this big, like, just walking through, and I just see these giant trucks, like, coming through, and I'm just like, is anyone going to do something? Like, there's a little girl out there, and it just took me by surprise. Like, I would never fly here.
Yeah.
And that just shocked me. It's like my little brother walking out there.
Yeah. Well, and like in the market, Caleb, we were at a market one day, and a girl, probably 5 years old, tried to pickpocket Caleb and Elissa. So, like, it was different. You know, what is one of the things that God showed you?
I believe he showed me through the Filipino people their generosity and their willingness to serve while we were there. And it reminded me how Jesus didn't come to this earth to be served, but to serve. And that's what I took from it. And they're just, even when they had nothing, they would give it to you. And like they said before, with the meals, they'd wait for you to eat. And they were happy to serve. And they were happy doing it. Like, our generation is like, oh, I have to do this, or oh, I have to do that. But they were just, they found joy in helping their fellow brothers and sisters in Christ out. And that's what that was crazy and amazing.
All right, does anyone want to share what a typical day was?
So a typical day was we'd wake up around 7 in the morning, right?
6:30, 7:30.
Yeah. I'd always be up earlier, just not on purpose, just because I woke up. And
we went to bed at like 9.
After that, we'd head over to the ministry center for some breakfast. We'd ride around for about 30 minutes. Then we'd start up our sports camp, do that for however long. After that, we'd eat lunch, and then we'd have an afternoon activity, which was generally going out for a hike to see what the people experienced to get to church, or just hanging out and getting to know each other as a team. After that, we'd go back to the ministry center, have dinner, and go back to the hotel, chill a little bit, and then we'd debrief.
Okay. We ate a lot, and it was really good food. What? Oh, there's us debriefing. It's hard work, but someone's got to do it. I had, like, several people came out, how was vacation? Well, this place can get really good pictures, but does someone wanna talk about Ate Lusing, like, and just what she does twice a week, and you got me.
Okay, so Ate Lusing is this 68-year-old woman, and am I right, 68?
Yep.
And she's a bracelet maker, and she lives up a mountain.
Up the mountain.
Like, hour and a half, 2 hour long hike. She could probably do it in an hour because she does it twice a week, late at night in the pitch black, early in the morning.
Yeah.
She's always the first one to church, and she helps set up and always the last to leave church. So she hikes through the jungle twice a week to get to church because they have a Sunday and a Wednesday service. And one of the things when they bring the offering plate around, she puts bracelets in instead of selling them. She sells bracelets to them, but she also tithes them. And with the bracelet she tithes, she could easily buy a trike and go down the mountain because she has a road by her house. So she could easily get a trike and then take that to her house. But she instead gives it to God. And
That's how
she helps the church.
Yep. So she would rather put the bracelets in for tithe than get the money to walking. It's just her commitment, and it was crazy. That's one of the things that stood out to us, was just that the commitment to being there. Does anyone else want to share what God taught them on the trip? Yep, Alyssa does. Good job, Alyssa. Thank you.
I learned how to be very content. I was not expecting them to be so kind, and they were just happy with nothing. Like, you're talking like little huts that are like the size, like half the size of my room. And that's, and you have like six kids running around in that house. You got chickens, you got pets. It was very different.
Content. I mean, and again, that perspective piece is huge.
Really?
I gave him six questions, and I said, okay, right? What did God teach you?
Don't do that.
All right, well.
God just taught me definitely to just be grateful with everything that I have here, and seeing how over there they, as Alyssa said, they had so little, and yet they were so extremely happy, and they loved unconditionally, and they didn't expect anything back from us, and they were so open for us, being complete strangers from a completely different country, and they just served us first, they loved us, and they wanted to make sure that we had the most comfortable experience that we could have, and that was just really eye-opening that they were just amazing people that obviously loved God and wanted to serve us, and it was really cool to have that experience and have someone care about you that much, even though they have no idea who you are.
Okay. One of the things that we did as a team, to even before we left and while we were there, is we went through a book on just helping us gain proper perspective, and I can't remember which one of you guys was going to talk about the book. Oh, someone's got to talk about the book. Alex did. Alex talked about how the book dealt with guilt and shame, and how we all deal with guilt and shame, and how we can't let fear, guilt, and shame hold us back from being who God wants us to be and who God created us to be. And it's just so important that in the midst of going on a trip like this, where your perspective gets challenged and your eyes get opened, that you can start to look at yourself and see where you're letting the enemy have footholds and making you deal with guilt and shame and holding you back from who God wants you to be. Because God says, you're loved. I love you. And I forgive you. And you don't have to live in the muck and the mire of your past, because I can forgive you. And so we went through that book together and just tried to process through while we were debriefing every night. What is God doing in our hearts? You were going to talk about how this helped you understand why. No, which you two, which one's going to talk about how this helped you understand why we sell the bracelets? That was you, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Brian already told the story of, So why we sell bracelets is to provide an income for 700 families, which mm-hmm. Brian already said. And Alex, I didn't know the full story until we sat down one night and Alex told the entire story. And that was kind of just, I kind of just had an eye-opener moment. So that's why we sell the bracelets. Like, I always knew that we went to go help the families, but I didn't know the full story.
Yeah.
And so, and it's also, I could put a name and a face to the bracelets we're selling. So I'm like, I sell a bracelet. And like, oh, there's a dollar for Marcus.
Yeah. Well, and it's again, perspective is huge. And that's what this trip was about. And, you know, from Fran...
Okay, so I'm going to talk a little bit about the parents' perspective. I think as a parent, one of the things we desire most for our kids is that they step out of their own little selfish bubble, and we all have these bubbles, but we want them to think outside of themselves and beyond themselves. Also, as a parent, that's a very scary thing to do, right? Because it's in our DNA to be control freaks, and we want them to be to go outside those bubbles, but we want to control it in our own ways. And it's a very scary thing to put your precious ones on a plane that goes over really, really large bodies of water for just excruciating numbers of hours on a plane. and then to send them to foreign lands where you don't know what they're going to eat, you don't know what they're going to be sleeping on and all that kind of thing. But all that to say, I want to say just trust in your leadership, because I know Brian is thinking about doing this again in probably 4 years, and the whole time I was there, I just kept thinking, wow, I really am very sad that Luke and Andrew and Nathan missed out on this opportunity. So I'm glad that he took a group of kids, but I'm not very happy that he waited so long to do it. So all that to say that be praying about that now. I know some of you look at that and you think, I could never send my kid on that kind of trip. Well, yes, you can. We took very good care of them, I think. Hopefully. If they told you differently, don't believe it. We took
good care of them. They ate really, really good food.
Yes. You know, I think they got very, very sick of us saying, where are you going? Where are you going? Who are you with when you're coming back? But they were very gracious to a person. They were very, very gracious and very responsive. So all that to say, be praying now about the trip that may come in 3 or 4 years, because this is an awesome opportunity for your kids. Yeah.
And if you are interested, go ahead, you guys can grab a seat, in helping out in any way, because some of... We sell bracelets so that they can make bracelets. And a lot of times, we think, maybe we could do the Puyallup Fair, maybe we could do that. But it just takes a lot of time and people. And so if you're interested, hey, you know, I could give some time towards maybe doing some Threads of Hope stuff, let me know. Let Fran know. That would be really good. But, I mean, all this is great. It's a great experience for the students, a great experience for us as a church. But hopefully it's a challenging one, too, for us to hear the story of someone who's willing to look up, look out, and see what God is doing. Because Alex will admit, he wasn't planning on starting a ministry. Like, he didn't set out to start Threads of Hope. He set out to help a young girl from desperation, and in turn now is helping 700 families. And he has no clue where it's going to go from here. And so the question I have is, are we so focused looking down at our own lives and what's going on that we're not noticing the poor, the sick, the needy, the hungry? Are we not seeing where God has said, hey, we can intervene and we can clothe someone. We can give them a place to sleep. We can give them food to eat, water to drink. See, we have to get out of the rut of the everyday. Same old thing, different day. We need to look up, look out, and see, God, where do you want to use me? Whose life do you want me to invest in? Who do you want me to get to know? Who can I be an oasis for renewal between God and someone else? Who can I share Jesus with? Because there's 1,000 people that are going to this church that started because one guy looked up, looked out, and people are getting saved. And I say, thank you, Jesus, for that. And I want to say, are we looking up? Or are we too focused down? So that's my challenge to you, and that's my challenge for myself, and just for me as a parent. So let's pray. God, thank you that you can change perspective, that you can work in our hearts and our minds. You can teach us your ways. You can help us see where we are being selfish. You can help us see where we just need to trust you. And you are in control, and you provide in crazy and amazing ways. And God, I just pray that we would trust you. Father, that we'd put you first in life, because that's when life goes best. Lord, thank you for safety. Thank you for just helping us understand how we can help, not those next door, but those across the big sea. And God, just help us to keep a proper perspective that you are at work always, and you've chosen us, you've chosen to use us. Lord, open our hearts and our minds towards who you want us to invest in, to share you with. In your name I pray, amen.